2 Chronicles 25, we're just going to read two verses here as we come to the message this morning. So the first two verses. 2 Chronicles 25, verses 1 and 2 says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Let's just pray again before we come to the preaching. Father in heaven, I come before you now. And Lord, I need the help of the Holy Spirit to preach this message. Lord, the congregation need the help of the Holy Spirit to hear it with the heart and not just with the ear. We pray, Lord, that you would give help and that you would come and meet with us now. And you would help us to consider the truth of God's holy word. We pray that we would be open and honest before you, Lord, that we would come and seek to draw nigh to the Lord. And we thank you for the promise of the Holy Scripture, which tells us that as we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh to us. And Lord, just touch each one in the gathering now. Take away distractions, take away the thoughts of our work, of what we'll do next week. Lord, help us to consecrate our hearts even in the time that we're given to the preaching and to the hearing of God's word. I ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. A house divided against itself cannot stand. We come this morning to study the word of God, the Holy Scriptures. This book that you and I are holding is an English translation of the original texts which God gave thousands of years ago. And this particular translation, the authorized version, which I assume most of us, if not all of us, are using this morning, has had such an impact on the English-speaking world that many of the phrases and much of the verbal imagery that this translation uses has been taken into our everyday speech. It's become part of English-speaking culture. This morning I wanted to tell you that I didn't trust someone's motives, I would describe them perhaps as a wolf in sheep's clothing. If I wanted to say that someone or something was a bit of a lost cause, I might say that a leopard can't change his spots. And very applicably to our message, if I wanted to tell you how important it was to have unity, I would say a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that particular phrase was used by many people, but the one that I want to bring to your attention was a man called Abraham Lincoln, a famous American politician who became president. And he used this phrase at the beginning of a speech 162 years ago. And his focus in that speech was to illustrate the importance of unity and the folly of disunity. A house divided against itself cannot stand. His context was that at that time the Union of the Northern States was anti-slavery, and it was very much at odds with the Confederacy of the Southern States, and they were pro-slavery. Now, Abraham Lincoln used these words, I believe, very wisely. He chose them very wisely, not just because they were from Scripture, but because they were applicable. A house that is divided against itself cannot stand. It reminds us perhaps of the other verse in Scripture, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and carnal things or God and the flesh. No man can serve two masters. Now, to find the phrase a house divided, we could turn to either the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of Matthew. And let me just read to you Matthew 12, verse 25. The words of Jesus Christ. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Now, Christ was using that to illustrate that it was impossible to cast out devils by the power of the devil, as the Pharisees had accused him of doing. But what he was teaching is also a universal principle. A house divided against itself cannot stand. You can't have an organization, a company, or even one individual whose purpose is not focused and hope to see that person, that individual, or that organization succeed. If they're not united, if there's not a common purpose and a common goal, there will be failure. Now that is true in the spiritual realm as well. And the reason we've turned to 2 Chronicles 25 this morning is because we want to consider the life of this king of Judah called Amaziah. He began to reign when he was 25 years old. And verse 2 of the chapter gives us his legacy as far as God is concerned and what God wants us to know about this man. First of all, he was a believer, because the first part of verse 2 teaches us that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And that's what Scripture tells us about kings who knew the Lord. They did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But the second part of the verse gives us the fatal flaw, and it shows us the disunity that was in Amaziah's heart. It shows us why he was like a divided house. Because it says in the second part of verse 2, "but not with a perfect heart." Now, you might not think so, but Amaziah was very like many of us this morning. And what I mean by that is that he enjoyed an upbringing in a family who knew and loved the one true God. For example, his father, Joash, who was also the king of Judah, for most of his days, he pleased the Lord. He had a concern for the house of God, as we'll see a little later on. Amaziah's mother was called Jehoiada, and her name means Jehovah pleased. So not only was Amaziah identified with God's people, but he also, as verse 2 teaches us, he knew the law of God. And we've seen his flaw. We've seen the fact that he was not focused upon the Lord and that he had a divided heart. And the theme that I want to bring to us for your consideration this morning is the danger of a divided heart. And I don't know your heart this morning. I'm not coming here as some young, overzealous wannabe preacher to tell everyone off. But it is an important lesson, because we know, those of us who love the Lord, how quickly our hearts can become divided and how quickly we can set our affections and our energies and our desires upon things that are not of God and not his will for us. So regardless of who we are or our condition this morning, this is a word which we would do well to take heed to. Amaziah's heart was divided. He was not devoted to Jehovah. He did not love the Lord his God with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his strength, and all of his mind. Amaziah had great spiritual privileges, but spiritual privileges do not guarantee you any spiritual possession. Amaziah was a half-hearted believer, and I think it's important that we first of all begin by understanding why. So let's first of all see the reasons that Amaziah had a divided heart. Firstly, I think we can see in the chapter that Amaziah's heart was divided because he did not use the means of grace. Now, for you and I this morning, the means of grace are two: the Word of God and prayer. And in Amaziah's day, he also had the Word of God, not as much as we do, but he had certainly the first five books of the Old Testament, and other writings were given as time went by. So he had the word of the Lord, and we know that he was aware of at least some of it because of what we've already read. And for example, if you take a look at verse 4, "but he slew not their children, but did as it is written in the law in the book of Moses." So there's evidence that Amaziah knew, at least in part, about the law of God. But the problem with Amaziah was that this is the only time that we read of him looking for God's law and looking at the book of God. No other time in this chapter, which is his life story in Chronicles, do we read of him looking for the law of God, looking to see what God's instruction would be on a particular matter. He didn't read the word of God, so he neglected the means of grace in that way. Secondly, we don't read of Amaziah ever praying and asking the Lord for direction. Now, as you know, the line of kings in Judah was usually from a father to his son. And in Amaziah's genealogy, we can read in the Bible about his great-great-grandfather Jehoshaphat. And it says of Jehoshaphat that he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Jehoshaphat realized that the nation was in trouble, and that he was in trouble, and that they had to seek the Lord if they were going to find help for their troubles. But we don't read about Amaziah doing this. So he had not remembered the lessons that his fathers and those who were spiritual examples to him knew and applied. So we don't read of Amaziah looking out the word of God. We don't read of him praying, not for himself. We don't read of him praying for his family or for his country. And you would think a man with such responsibility of leading an entire nation would pray and seek the face of God for wisdom and for guidance as he led the nation. We do know what he was interested in. We know from his actions that he had interest in power because he conducted a military census. In verse 5 of the chapter, if we read that verse together, it says, "Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and made them captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them 300 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield." So, he wanted to invade another nation and he wanted to make them his conquest. So he was interested in power, not interested in the word of God, not interested in praying and knowing the mind of God, but he was very interested in getting more power. And he was also interested in money. We'll come to see more about that very shortly. So these are the reasons why Amaziah's heart was divided. Firstly, because he did not use the means of grace. Secondly, I believe Amaziah's heart was divided because he was self-confident. And we've read in 1 Corinthians 10 a little earlier in the meeting about Paul's advice to the Corinthian believers to take heed to the lessons that were in the scripture for their learning about the Old Testament believers, how they fell into idolatry, how they fell into fornication. And he summed it up by describing those people as those who thought they stood. "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Well, that's true of Amaziah, because no doubt he was a man with great pride in his identity. He had great pride in the fact that he was the king of Israel, and he was the latest in a line of men who had been very successful, men who believed they were a holy nation and a chosen people set apart to serve the one true and living God. And while those things were true, that's not what Amaziah should have put his confidence in. This morning, you and I should not put our confidence in the fact that we belong to this particular congregation or this denomination. We should not put our confidence in our profession or our identity as far as material and human things are concerned. The only thing that we should put confidence in this morning is the Word of God and the God who has given the Word. But that's not what Amaziah did. He was self-confident. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3, because there are some verses there that are relevant to this. Revelation chapter 3 teaches us about some of the churches in the New Testament and what the Lord had to say to them. And the one that I want to look at this morning is the church in Laodicea. We're thinking about a divided heart being caused by self-confidence. So let's read Revelation chapter 3. And let's start at verse 14. And it says there, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Verse 17 in particular describes the believer who is self-confident, the person who has made a profession in the Lord. But they say of themselves, "I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I don't need anything." But in actual fact, their true condition is that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They have absolutely nothing. And this was Amaziah's condition. But he didn't realize it because he was self-confident. Perhaps if he had attended to the means of grace and he had read the word of God and prayed to the Lord, his heart would have been in a more honest condition. And he wouldn't have thought of himself so highly. And as we see, the third reason that Amaziah's heart was divided directly followed on from not attending to the means of grace and from being self-confident. Because the third reason he had divided heart was because he failed to take instruction. If you want to leave a marker in Revelation 3 and just go back with me to 2 Chronicles 25. Amaziah's heart was divided thirdly because he failed to take instruction. And we see two instances of this in the chapter. We've read already about how he conducted a military census, and we know that his purpose was to go to war. Read with me now verses 6 through to 10. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim, to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. That's the first instance of a direct instruction from the Lord to Amaziah. And isn't this very typical of the life of someone who has professed and believes and loves the Lord and is a believer, but has strayed away from him? That person who is not reading the Word of God for themselves, that person who is not praying to the Lord daily for his guidance and his help. Very often what happens is that that person is spoken to directly by the Lord as a wake-up call in some way, because they're not listening. So the Lord comes with his word and he gets their attention. And he points out, as Amaziah was shown here, that what they are doing is wrong. Amaziah had failed to seek God for help before he took action and hired a military force from a different country. That country of which we are told in verse 7, the Lord is not with Israel. Amaziah hired the help of a nation who were unbelievers to do the work of God. And that is never the Lord's will for the work that he has asked us to carry out. He would not have us to employ unbelievers. In this case, Amaziah was trying to conduct a war, and Israel was a chosen nation and a peculiar people. And their actions militarily are significant of our lives in spiritual warfare. And so Amaziah's lack of wisdom caused him to be instructed by the Lord. Now, the point that I'm making here is that he failed to take instruction. How do we know that? Because in verse 14, after Amaziah has obeyed and sent the Israelites home, he goes out to battle and he's successful. But what does he do next? Verse 14, it came to pass after Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir. The children of Seir are the people who he has just conquered in battle. He brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. So Amaziah clearly has forgotten that the Lord told him not to go after the things of an ungodly nation. And the Lord has just given him instruction, which he has followed, and he has won the victory. And here he is going back whatever way he wants to go. He's doing that which is right in his own eyes, because he's taking the gods of this ungodly nation who the Lord has just helped him to conquer, and he's worshipping those gods, and he's setting them up and bowing himself down before them and burning incense unto them. We're prone to wander. Amaziah was also prone to wander. He failed to remember the instruction of the Lord. And the second instance of when he failed to do this was in verse 16. Because just as Amaziah is worshipping these false gods of the children of Seir and bowing himself down to them, God graciously sends him another warning from a prophet. And in verse 16, the prophet says, verse 15, Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear, why shouldst thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. This is the second time that the Lord has spoken directly to Amaziah and sent him a word. The one who was not seeking God's word for himself, not praying, and as a result making bad decisions. Still, he's a child of God, and God is gracious to him. And twice in this chapter, we've seen that God sent him a prophet and warned him that his actions were wrong. The first time, he obeyed, but very quickly after that, he fell back into sin. And now he sent a second warning. But because of his actions in the past, because he was not walking with the Lord, he rejected the prophet's warning. And in verse 16, he said to the prophet, "Are you made the king's counsel? Who put you in a position to lecture me?" And then he said, "Forbear." He said, "Be quiet. I don't want to hear this from you." And then he threatened him. Actually, he threatened him with physical violence. He said that he would smite the prophet of God. So what we're seeing here, the three reasons that Amaziah's heart was divided. Secondly, we need to understand what happened next. What was the result of a divided heart? When you and I come into a condition when our hearts are not consecrated and not focused upon the Lord and given over to him, what would the result of that be? Well, there are a few. First of all, we see that Amaziah's sin and his divided heart caused the waste of kingdom resources. And I chose that phrase specifically because everything that you and I have, and whether that's money or time or energy or opportunity, if we are the children of God, that does not actually belong to us. We are the steward of it, but it belongs to God, and therefore it is a resource of God's kingdom. But Amaziah's divided heart caused him to fall into sin, and that sin wasted kingdom resources. First of all, verse 6, he hired 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. 100 talents of silver, with a very rough calculation, is approximately 50 to 100 million pounds in today's money. That's not accurate, but it gives you an idea of how much money was used here by this king of Israel. Money that could have been used for other things. But he used it to employ a nation whom God was not with to do the work of God. And he wasted that money because he didn't get it back. He also then created, through his sin, he created opportunity for conflict. And the invitation that he gave to these soldiers from Israel, which he had to go back on, meant that when they went home, they were passing through Amaziah's own country. Let's read verse 13. "But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back, that they should not go with him to battle, fell upon the cities of Judah, from Samaria even unto Beth Horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil." These people, these Israelite soldiers, had been jilted by Amaziah, if you want to say that. By him, he had to change his mind because the prophet of God had told him his decision was wrong. So Amaziah went back on his decision and he told the Israelite soldiers, "I don't need you anymore." And they were very angry. Not only did they lose out on the opportunity to conquer and to make a name for themselves, but they probably also lost out on a lot of money. Because in those days, if you were a conqueror, you took whatever you wanted from the people that you had just beaten. So Amaziah created the opportunity for conflict. And these Israelite soldiers actually caused harm and caused death to come to Judah, to Amaziah's own country. And they killed 3,000 of the people of Judah. And the reason that they were in the country in the first place was because of Amaziah's sin. Because he did not seek the Lord and he hired an ungodly nation, his sin created the opportunity for conflict. Now, when you and I sin and we go down a path that we shouldn't go down, or when we chase after something that we shouldn't be chasing, very often it creates opportunity for conflict when at a later time we have to pull back. When at a later time that we've realized that we've done something wrong. And that conflict and that suffering is caused by ourselves. The Bible teaches us that we do well if we suffer for righteousness' sake, but not for the sake of sin. That's something that we brought upon ourselves. And this is the result of Amaziah's divided heart, that not only did he waste the resources God had given to him and entrusted him with, but he also created the opportunity for conflict. And that would not have been good for his testimony. It would not have done him any favors in leading his own people. It made his life more difficult. No doubt there was a backlash from the people of Judah against this king for his lack of wisdom, because it was his action that caused his own people to suffer. Our sin affects more people than just us ourselves. And thirdly, the result of his divided heart was that he foolishly embraced foreign idols. He fell into idolatry. And if you remember in 1 Corinthians 10, idolatry was one of the sins which Paul warned the Corinthians against. Verse 7 said, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them." Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Think about how illogical it was for Amaziah to worship the gods of a nation whom he had just defeated. And then apply that to your life, and I apply it to mine. How illogical is it for us to give our affections and our time and our desires to sin or to the lust of the flesh or to those things which are clearly of this world and not of God? We know that we don't belong to this world. We know that we're only strangers here. We're sojourners here. Our home is in heaven. But it's so easy to get caught up with the things of the world, with the things of time and of sense. And that's what Amaziah did. And it was a sin. An idol was created in his heart. And something took the place of God. And that's all that an idol needs to do. That's what an idol is, actually. Anything that comes between me and the Lord. Amaziah's sin caused him to embrace foreign idols. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The most serious result of Amaziah's sin was that he lost his usefulness and he was marked for judgment. Because if you look at verse 17, Amaziah by this time has rejected every warning from the Lord. He has rejected what he was taught and he's refused to listen to God's very specific revelation. And it's quite clear that he's past the point of no return. It's quite clear that he's past being useful for the Lord. And the prophet says to him in verse 16, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Now, where's the encouragement in this message this morning? Well, the encouragement is that although it is possible for us to be like Amaziah, that the Word of God gives us everything that we need not to be. And that God is graciously speaking to us this morning and reminding us that although we are weak and sinful, yet if we are trusting in Christ and we have been redeemed by His precious blood, that He is able to give us everything that we need to overcome all the temptations and the trials that we will meet in our lives. Remember, that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 10 told us. I want to refer again to Revelation chapter 3, if you left a marker there. We want to look at what the Lord said to this Laodicean church, this church who was not living up to their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. What was God's advice to them? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19 tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If only Amaziah had done that. You see, Amaziah was chastened. Twice he was chastened by the prophet of God, who told him that his actions were wrong. But he didn't take them to heart. And God's advice to the backslider or to the believer whose heart is divided has not changed. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. God speaks to us through his word. God spoke to Amaziah through a prophet, and he speaks to us through the word. Let's read on in this chapter. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation chapter 3 in these last verses is showing us that even for the believer who perhaps is beset and plagued with the sin of self-confidence, it's possible that by listening to the warnings of Christ and by opening the door and seeking him to come in, that we can find fresh zeal, we can find fresh vigor and be useful, and that we might even overcome, and we might even be, as it says, more than conquerors through him. But it all rests upon the fact that we are not dependent on self, but rather that we are dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm conscious that there may be people here this morning who are unsaved. And in closing, I want to turn us to Isaiah chapter 55, because the Lord advises those who are backslidden in Revelation chapter 3 to buy counsel. And in Isaiah chapter 55, we're also given advice with that same term. Because Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 1 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Salvation is free. Salvation is free. The grace of God is available to us, and it's available freely through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Amaziah should have done was depend upon the Lord for everything. Instead of depending upon self, instead of then being overcome with idolatry, and instead of having a heart that was divided until the end, he could have been an overcomer. And this morning, I know so well, and I'm sure you do also, how easy it is for our hearts to wander away from the Lord and to become divided and to become set on something that is not of him. These verses in Isaiah 55, if we read on verse 2 down to verse 6, are so applicable not only to the believer to encourage us to seek the Lord, but also this morning to any who are not saved. Because you've understood, as I've spoken the words of this message, you've understood that the purpose of a believer is to live for the Lord. And you've understood that the believer is one who has been saved from their sin, and therefore they should have nothing to do with it anymore. But if you're unsaved this morning, you're not in that group. You're not one of the children of God. You don't have access to any of the privileges and the blessings that we're hearing about in these chapters. And my prayer for you is that as you listen to this, that you would realize that you need to come to Christ. And you need to do what it says here in Isaiah chapter 55. Let's read verses 2 to 6. "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." The Lord's saying here that in all of this world, whether it's money, whether it's food, whether it's your work, it's all vanity. As Solomon reminded us, things of time and sense are just vanity, because one day they will pass away. Why do you spend money on that which is not bread? Why do you spend money for something that can't satisfy you? And why do you work so hard for something that won't bring you any peace? God's advice to you, sinner, is to hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let's read on. "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And as we're gathered in God's house today, we can say with confidence that the Lord is here with us, and that this is his word that we're bringing to you this morning. And if your heart is open to the Lord this morning, and you're hearing what he has to say, then God's advice to you, whether you are in a condition of having a divided heart, or whether you are not saved and have not professed in the Lord, perhaps you've made a false profession. Perhaps you're relying on your identity and your associations with this congregation. That won't help you when it comes to the end. God's advice to you this morning is to seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Not Christianity, not church, not the appearance of doing good. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And when we do that, and when we seek the Lord, then we are given all the help that we need to overcome the trials of this life. And then we can avoid falling into the trap that Amaziah fell into of having a divided heart and of having a testimony that was not victorious and not successful for his Savior. I trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts, and I trust that he will help us even to take them deep into our hearts as we go our way now, that we would hide his word in our hearts so that we would not sin against him.